Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network College Football Analyst, NCAA. Mullion Hawes, College Football Expert.
Mullion Hawes, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Jerry DiNardo joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Jerry.
I'm doing great. Good morning.
I guess we have to start the conversation talking about Michigan because my wife went there. My brother-in-law is a huge fan, and I've been hearing a lot about it. They needed a couple of overtimes to get through that game, and obviously they won 24-21, but you're left with all sorts of questions, including, the quarterback, the system. I thought all this was going to be fixed. What was your take?
So you want to start with the bad news.
Is there any
That's
good
how
news?
He
they
rolls,
won.
Jerry.
Well, there is some good news, so let's get it out of the way. I did think that the defense played well. Don Brown, he's a pressure guy, and I was curious to see if he was going to continue to pressure a offense that if you give him a little bit of a crease, that fullback will break you up in the middle, because everyone will be flowing to the quarterback in the pitch. So he took his pressure defense and he made it effective against Army, and I think he held them to the less yards in several years and so on and so forth. So I thought the defense played really well. The offense was a little bit of a train wreck, and I think that body language and just watching it, I think Shea Patterson is not happy with the two quarterback system. I didn't think his body language was good. I didn't think he played well. He flushed out of the pocket too soon. He overthrew some receivers. His ball placement prevented a big play on one play that if the ball was put in the right spot for the receiver, there'd probably been a touchdown, so on and so forth. The offensive line played well the first game. They didn't play well the second game. No vertical threat, no explosiveness. One place where they had the mismatch personnel was when Michigan had the ball. They're obviously better players on Michigan's offense than Army's defense. Where they had the disadvantage was on defense, where it was an unusual scheme. So they won the disadvantage battle, and they totally lost the advantage battle.
I'll go positive, Jerry. I'll go with the biggest surprise to me in the Big Ten so far. That's Maryland. How are they ranked? They're 2-0. They beat Syracuse. Mike Loxley has that offense humming. They're scoring points the way their basketball program scores points. What's the biggest surprise element for you?
Well, I mean, you know, Maryland's a huge surprise. I mean, the first game was Howard, 79 points. Okay, you could kind of come to grips with that because of the competition. But the second game against the ranked Syracuse team, you know, Urban Meyer and I are doing some breakdowns during the week, and we did Maryland yesterday on the big show. And Urban goes into detail, and I asked him the question, what makes one team more explosive than another? And his answer was simple. Number one, players. So we showed a couple plays where Anthony McFarland is basically so talented he's hard to tackle. And the second one is scheme. You know, what is Mike Loxley doing scheme-wise that gives them advantage? And we go through a couple plays. So to answer your question, David, Mike Loxley, and I remember way back when he was at Illinois with Ron Zook and they played Michigan in Champaign. I thought he called an unbelievable game. That's the first time he ever got my attention as a play caller. When you take over Maryland, you're immediately more talented than Rutgers and Indiana in the East and about half the teams in the West. And when you get a coach that can scheme, I think this is what it looks like. Now let's wait and see as we go forward.
He's Jerry DiNardo. You're listening to Mullion Haw. You know, Pittsburgh at Penn State used to mean something. It used to be a real good rivalry. It's the one game that Pitt always worried about. They're just not quite there. And Penn State, I think they're favored by 17 in that game.
Well, Molly, bowl games used to mean something, too. And now
players don't
play them.
Fair enough.
I mean, a lot of things used to mean something and so on and so forth. You know, I haven't followed the Pitt program very much. You know, Pat Narduzzi from Michigan State, I followed him. But, you know, I don't really know much about that matchup. I do know Penn State is really, really talented on defense, rather. And they're starting to come along. I watched that game they had last week on the coach's tape. You're really encouraged by how James Franklin can put this team together. I think it's one of the better things he does. He constantly loses players, you know, either through the portal or through graduation, and he's managed this roster. I can't tell you much about Pitt. It certainly isn't a big game like it used to be. And I think this is the box, especially the Big Ten coaches are in. They're playing 9 conference games. The ACC and the SEC, who continue to win the national championship, are only playing 8 conference games. And then you ask Penn State to play Pitt, and you ask other teams to play other old rivalries, Iowa State. And it makes it difficult, I think, sometimes in the eyes of the Big Ten coaches to get excited about these rivalries, and yet if they don't get excited about it, they get their butts beat.
Jerry, NIU goes into Nebraska this week to play a team, Scott Frost's team, that blew a lead against Colorado. That's a bad loss because of how they were leading and what it looked like. I think Mel Tucker did a really nice job of bringing his team back and off to a good start. That said, what's the climate like in Lincoln this week where you know, they don't take kindly to losing games they feel like they should have won?
You know, David, I've lived a lot of different things through football. I can tell you, my observation of that whole thing is, you know, Scott's going to be okay. But, you know, he's got this laid-back attitude, and I respect the heck out of him. I think what you're going to find is growth in the corner office. I mean, Scott Frost wants this thing to work so badly because, obviously, he went to school there. And this is the first time probably he's really feeling pressure. And this is when CEOs, head football coaches, this is when their personality starts to change. They're under such tremendous pressure that, you know, it might be time that, you know, you press one of your staff members. It might be time where everything's not okay. Everything will be okay in the future because that job that Scott Frost has comes with it now for the first time, in my opinion, with incredible pressure that he had never imagined he would have as he got into coaching. Head coach of Nebraska, now things aren't going quite so good. Maybe it isn't all that great to go back home. Maybe you're the favorite son until you're not the favorite son. So I still have a lot of confidence in him, but I do think we're going to see a lot of, we probably won't see a lot of personal growth from Scott Frost, but I can tell you, there's going to be a lot of personal growth going on in his head and in his office.
Jerry, I know you've done a lot of work with coaches and organizations, schools looking for them and all of that. You got USC now. Lynn Swann has resigned. And there are a series of like wild rumors floating around about them looking for maybe an AD coach combination. There's a rumor that Urban Meyer is high on their list and they're going to try to coax him over there for whatever role he needs, whether they wait for the athletic director or whatever. When a program like that is struggling and an AD leaves, is it just normal that they'll be trying to cherry pick someone to come in, to some Big Ten AD, some Big Ten coach or former coach, whatever?
My only if the decision is made by 3 people, the president, the athletic director, and the head football coach. And when those 3 people are on the same page, Donna Shalala, Pat Richter, Barry Alvarez, what's the book that was written from Red Ink to Red Roses? They took over the Wisconsin program, and the president, the AD, and the coach said, okay, here's who we are, here's who we want to be, and here's how we get there. Now, this AD head coaching thing, that's an absurd thought in nowadays football, in my opinion. So they need to hire an AD. The president, the AD, need to hire a coach. And the 3 of them have to sit in a room and say, what do we want USC to look like in the Coliseum? How important is it to our university? Who's the right person? We've had greatness in our past, which means in most people's minds, we can have greatness in our future. And us 3 absolutely believe that we can have greatness in our future. So they've got to figure that out first. I mean, there's probably so many things that USC has fallen behind, like traditional powers do. They probably have average facilities. They probably need to upgrade a lot of things. They probably need to spend a lot of money. Are they willing to do all those things? Because if they are, a place like USC can be back within 2 years in the national championship hunt. But until those three people get together and make a decision, it's been proven it doesn't work until that happens.
Luckily, Jerry, Northwestern has a chance to get well with UNLV coming to town, and I think it's a big game for Hunter Johnson. Certainly not the quarterback you expected to see against Stanford. A lot of things contributed to that, but what do you expect Saturday?
You know, progress. You know, I think you said it best, David. You know, let's get Hunter Johnson. You know, he doesn't have to have a great game, but let's see improvement. Let's see a little bit of, you know, stabilization at the quarterback position. It's no longer two quarterbacks now. It's one. Remember, they all always – Northwestern, not always, but certainly in recent years, has a very, very, very good defense, and that's a good place to start as the offense seems to always be trying to catch up. And somehow Fitz puts this thing together, and it looks pretty at the end, not always pretty at the beginning. And I'm guessing, you know, this is probably what we're going to see. We're going to begin to see what looked ugly against Stanford is going to start looking pretty this Saturday. I'd be surprised if it's not. It won't look great, but it'll look better.
Hey, Jerry, thanks so much. Always a joy to catch up with you. Appreciate the knowledge.
Good stuff, Jerry. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Jerry DiNardo. Always a joy. And it's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.